What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It's Monday night. It's November 4th, 2024. Can't believe we're in the 11th month of 2024, but here we are. They say time flies when you're having fun, and that's what we do here on the Tan and J-Man Show, and with a brand new episode streaming live on the IC Sports Network, the IC Sports Network YouTube channel, their X page, the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page, and of course, you can listen on your favorite audio podcast platform a day later as well. College basketball has begun, J-Man. We are underway as of earlier today. The 2024-2025 season has started. How we doing?
Doing all right there, Tandem Man. I've been ready for college basketball season since Tua was laying motionless in week two of the NFL season.
I didn't mean to laugh. That's terrible that I laughed, but you chuckled so that I chuckled. It was your delivery. What's your delivery that made me laugh?
I'm excited, cautiously optimistic, as they say. So,
yeah, well, doing some research and some note taking for this year's Big Ten predictions, which we'll be getting into here in a bit on the podcast. Most difficult year than any year we've ever done this, because the addition of the four new schools and it's just college athletics anymore. A lot of teams, you don't know what to expect from the transfer portal. They look good on paper, but you don't know how they're going to gel until you actually see them.
Yeah, especially in basketball. You see it more as free agency, if you will, with the portal and NIL and all that, and guys just leaving all over the place. And I mean, you see it in college football, but not to the scale you see it in basketball. Maybe that's because rosters are smaller in basketball. Yeah, it was interesting to go through and learn about these teams that we will be, you know, every year I start watching, you know, Big Ten basketball. I'm like, man, this team looks so different. And then by like January, it just feels like they've been together forever. Excited to get into it though. But before we get in further, I do have a birdie bogey. It is an NFL question. Aaron Rodgers has thrown, I think he's thrown up to 12 touchdown passes now. He is the first Jets quarterback since who to throw 10 touchdowns in a season?
Okay. Well, good question. Good question.
Wow. They've had terrible quarterbacks for about 15 years now, and you got to go back a ways to get to 10 touchdowns.
It's not who I thought it was right off my head then.
Maybe not a ways. I could be throwing you off.
I'm pretty sure you didn't mean to do that. So
Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Their fall and winter hours, they are open Thursday through Saturday, 4 to 9 on Thursday, 4 through 10. On Fridays and Saturdays. So go into Arlington Public House and get some good old grub.
Can't go wrong with anything you get there. So we got a jam-packed show tonight, because not only do we have our Big Ten basketball preview, but we also have a lot of college football talk, NFL talk, and if we have time, maybe some World Series talk. I don't really want to talk about it too much. But
Dodgers beat the Yankees in 5. That's all you need to know.
And the Yankees had the worst inning in World Series history. Fifth inning of Game 5. Disastrous. My gosh. With all that said, where I was going with, you want to get educated real quick, knocked out?
Let's do it. I actually have it pulled up if you want me to do it.
Sure. Go for it.
On this day in 1924, California legalized professional boxing. Never knew it was illegal.
Well, you know, there's still like, I think it's New York, if not New Jersey, both of them. There's still some weird regulations in those states when it comes to boxing and UFC and stuff. Still to this day. Yeah. Interesting. They can have fights, but is there something? I don't know. I'd have to look into it.
On this day in 1953, this is an interesting one that I had no idea was a thing. A new baseball balk rule gives the batter option of accepting the outcome of the pitch or the balk.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the balk still is to me when I'm watching a baseball game. A lot of times I think somebody balks and they don't.
Yeah.
It's still to me like almost a judgment call by the umpire, seems like.
There's some that are legit, like a pickoff move where a guy clearly balks. Now, sometimes pitchers will accidentally flinch, and they're not trying to you know, one up the base runner or anything. It's just a flinch, and I don't think that should be balk. So I think they need to do a little bit of balk reform in baseball.
Good thing I'm not a pitcher. I'd probably cramp up and balk all the time.
Yeah. On this day in 1959, Mr. Cub Ernie Banks won his second consecutive National League Most Valuable Player.
What years did he play from?
He was in the 50s and 60s. Okay. I couldn't tell you that, but
I didn't know he was in the 50s, I guess. I thought he was 60s. And...
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he was on a team with, you know, Ron Santo, Billy Williams, Fergie Jenkins, and they never made the playoffs once.
That's crazy.
That's four Hall of Famers right there.
But, but at the same time, how many teams made the playoffs then?
Four. Yeah. Four. You had a championship series and the World Series. So
yeah, so I'm sure if it was the format now, he would have had some playoff experience.
Definitely. Definitely. On this day in 1976, the first mass market free agent re-entry draft happened. It included Reggie Jackson, Raleigh Fingers, it looks like, Willie McCovey, Don Baylor, Gene Tennis. Yeah, they used to have re-entry free agent drafts. I don't know what that means. But free agency.
I've heard a lot of those guys.
Yeah. On this day in.
Do you think that could have meant, like, when their contract was up with their team, that they go back into, like, a draft pool?
Could be, yeah. Interesting. I don't know. I probably should have looked that up before I did on this day, but I just pulled it up, so my apologies. On this day in 1994, the house that Jordan built, the United Center in Chicago, opens.
Man, so it is 30 years old.
Yeah, the house that Jerry Reinsdorf built. Sorry, not Michael Jordan. Jordan doesn't deserve any credit for that. Only Jerry Reinsdorf. Mm-hmm. On this day in 2001, one of the greatest baseball World Series games ever was played. Game 7, Arizona beat the New York Yankees. On this day in 2009, the Yankees beat the Phillies to win the World Series that year. And that's going to do it for On This Day this week.
Yeah, it's a good list. A little short this week, but it was still a good list. That is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of the recently completed projects by visiting them on Instagram and on Facebook at Mooney Woodcrafts is their handle on those two social media channels. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. It's November 4th. December 25th is going to be here literally before we know it. So do not wait any longer. Get those sign orders in and make the perfect Christmas gift for anybody in your family or any close friend of yours.
Yes, sir.
All right. Pick 6 segment, J-Man. It's Big Ten basketball preview show. So I'm sure I've done this in the past, but so I'm going to pick 6 different Big Ten Conference men's basketball players of the year over the years. And I'm just now looking at this list for the first time. So I'm literally just going to pick 6 of them. Let's start with Terrence Dials, 05-06 Ohio State. Could not have told you he was player of the year.
I couldn't have told you that either. Yeah, big dude. He was large man, about 6'9", I'd say 270. He was a really good player on some Ohio State teams, for one, that were on sanctions at that point and had a postseason ban. Really, really good player. I vaguely remember him. That's kind of right when I started getting into college basketball a little bit, was Terrence Dials. I remember him. The first college basketball game I went to was the Big Ten Championship game at the United Center. Shout out Mike Barnett and Steve Alford for those tickets, honestly. We got to watch Illinois beat Ohio State, and that was fun. And Terrence Dials, I do remember him from that game.
That would have been he would have played on one of Mata's first teams, I would think.
I think 05-06 was Mata's.
In O'Brien's. Yeah, he would have been the O'Brien-Mata crossover era. Yeah. DJ White, 0708, Indiana power forward.
Yeah, IU back. That was the Mike Davis days, and then the end of Sampson. Correct.
Mm-hmm, correct.
He obviously, you guys remember when was it a freshman? Chris Kramer went at him.
Yep. Yep. Mackey Arena. Yep.
Yeah. He was a very fun guy to root against.
Oh, he loved to clap. I've never seen a player that would clap in other players' kind of vicinities more than him. But had a cup of coffee in the NBA for a little bit. Yeah, good college player, though. Nick Stauskas, 2013-14 Michigan Wolverine shooting guard.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be a star in the NBA. Great shooter, 6'6", athletic. You look back at that Michigan roster, and who would have thought Tim Hardaway Jr. would have been the best NBA guy out of those? I mean, you had Trey Burke. High first round pick, Stauskas. Even a guy like Mitch McGarry was a first round pick, but Tim Hardaway's had a really good NBA career, and he's still playing. I think he's with the Pistons. Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. Pistons have quite a few Big Ten guys on their teams, probably why they're not very good. Denzel Valentine, 2015-16 Michigan State shooting guard.
Yeah, he was a bust of an NBA guy, but fantastic. I mean, he was kind of in the Draymond Green role where he could shoot, he could pass, rebound, kind of did it all. He's a little smaller than Draymond. He was more of a guard, but Bulls took him early, and we're shocked the Bulls are continuously, 38 and 44 or 40 and 42. he was not a good NBA guy.
Two more here. Cassius Winston, 2018-19 Michigan State point guard.
I would venture to say he was the best Michigan State point guard since Izzo's taken over, college-wise.
Kalen Lucas was pretty good.
Kalen Lucas was good, but he didn't put up the numbers that Cassius Winston did, nor did Mateen Cleaves. Of course, Cleaves led him to a title, but, Cassius.
Was, back-to-back. He was back-to-back Big Ten Player of the Year. Actually, in 98-99, there was three guys that tied for it. Mateen Cleaves, Scootie Penn from Ohio State, and A.J. Guyton from Indiana. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
That's all right. But yeah, Cassius, he was definitely a 4-year guy, meaning he's never. I think he played a little bit in the NBA. Kind of took the D Brown trek to the NBA, late round pick. If he was even drafted, and just hung around for a little bit, but not didn't do a whole lot.
And lastly, I know this one's gonna fire up. 21-22, Johnny Davis, Wisconsin shooting guard.
I will go on record and say he was the worst Big Ten player of the year. And it's been validated by how well he's played in the NBA, too. He is one of the biggest draft busts we've seen over the past 15 years or so. His stat line looked good. He was very inefficient, though. I would have given it to, an E.J. Liddell or Keegan Murray or Kofi Coburn that year. Johnny won it. I'm still blaming Andy Katz for that one because he's a Wisconsin guy and he kind of led the campaign for Johnny Davis.
And looking at the winners by school, Michigan State has had 9 winners, Ohio State 7, Purdue and Indiana 6, Michigan 5, Wisconsin 4, Illinois 3, Iowa 2, everybody else 0.
Pretty sure the last guy, the last Illini was D. Brown, I'm pretty sure.
In 05, yep, they had Brian Cook.
Yeah, Cook won it.
Frankie Williams, Brian Cook, and D. Brown.
Yeah, so they've done it all recently. They kind of got hurt a little bit because Io ran into Luca Garza. Any other year, he wins it. Then, of course, Kofi. But then last year, Shannon ran into Edie, and they've just kind of it's been sort of bad luck in that sense. But
yeah, Purdue did not. I have one. He had to go back. It was Glenn Robinson, and then they didn't have one until Juwan Johnson, and then Caleb Swan again, then Edie back-to-back. And before Robinson, Steve Scheffler won it in 89-90.
Was it Cassius Winston won it the year Carson was there?
That would have been 18-19, yes.
Yep. Okay. I'm sure Carson was probably runner-up.
Yeah, probably. This list does not show that, so. Yeah, so – But that is the Pick Six segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Performer Print Suit Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting coming up in 2025, Performer Print Suit Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. You want to stick with basketball, or do you want to save that for later in the show?
No, I think we should knock her out here, and then if we have time, we can get to football, because I got a lot of notes written down here for a big thing.
You probably have a lot more than me. I don't have a whole lot. So, but let's get rolling with it. Sorry, I was checking Purdue's score real quick. They're up 16 at halftime. All right, so with that said, 18 teams now in the Big Ten, not 14 like it used to be when we predicted. Heck, used to be 12 for the longest. We've always predicted 14 though. Mm-hmm. I was thinking we started the podcast when there was 12. We did not start it that early. Who do you have winning the Big Ten in 2024-25?
I have Purdue winning it again. I think Braden Smith will win Player of the Year.
We agree on both of those.
I put in my notes, need big leaps from Colvin and Heidi, and they don't even start tonight. So what do I know? But still, I mean, they're obviously huge, important pieces.
Right.
But, very, very interested to see how they look. Obviously, you don't have your 7'4" security blanket down there.
They got a 7'4" kid. He's not
Zach Edey.
He's not built like Edey.
Yeah. They'll probably look different. Schematically, maybe, or style, I should say.
Yep.
And I'm intrigued by how they'll look.
Yeah, defense concerns me a little bit. That's just from the Creighton exhibition. But Creighton's another beast. I mean, Colt Berners, he ate up their young big guys. But, I mean, he's a fifth-year, 23-year-old man out there. So defense concerns me a little bit. And I'm interested to see how they adjust when they're on nights they're not shooting well. Because in the past, you could just feed Big Zach and he'd find a way. Now you don't have that cheat code. But they're going to have a three-headed horse there of Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, and Trey Kaufman-Wren. And then tonight, Jakari Harris, true freshman, started. And Daniel Jacobson, true freshman, started as well. Cam Heidi, Miles Colvin came off the bench. Also, true freshmen C.J. Cox and Riley Burgess came off the bench. And Will Berg came off the bench, who's a redshirt sophomore. That was just from when I was watching. So their one lone senior, Caleb First, when I was watching, hadn't been in the game yet. But they're going to go 9, 10, 11 deep most nights. So they only decided to redshirt one of their 5 incoming freshmen. That was Mr. Basketball in the State of Indiana last year, Jack Benter, who everybody kind of knew he was going to redshirt even last year. So that wasn't a surprise. But I picked Purdue, even though I have some concerns. I still think next year, assuming they can keep everybody together, 25-26 could be the year they really make a deep run. If you told me right now they'd be a top 5 seed in the NCAA tournament, so a top 20 team, sign me up. Mm-hmm. Sign me up in a heartbeat. See what happens from there. So.
Yeah. Painter so far has not been hit by the transfer portal at all. Like he's built an incredible culture there of winning, and it makes it easier for guys to stick around. They should. I mean, there's no reason to believe they'll start losing guys, you know? So.
Yep. I mean, you know, they're back-to-back Big Ten champs and darn near won it the year before that, too. So I guess my logic is until somebody knocks them off, I'll keep picking them. So.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Who do you got finishing number two?
This is a homer pick. I have the Illini finishing second here. They lose 13 of 15 scholarship players. Return 8% of their scoring, and this was before the news just about a half hour ago that Ty Rogers is going to take a redshirt year, a developmental redshirt year. That's what they call it, and I would not be surprised if he did what Sincere Harris did. He redshirts and then transfers. The guy, the assistant who is really close with Tim Anderson, is no longer there. He quit a few weeks ago, about a month ago. But still, Ty Rogers, I mean, he's not a great fit, but and he was not going to start this year, and he was going to probably play significantly less minutes than he did last year. But still, that's a guy who started every single game on an Elite Eight team. who brought toughness and maturity and leadership to the Illini. But he's no longer there. They have so many new faces, but I think top to bottom in the conference, they probably have, from a pure talent standpoint, they're probably the most talented. They have the most guys in ESPN's top 100 draft rankings. However, you have 13 new guys. How's the chemistry going to be? I was listening to a podcast with Jeff Goodman and Robbie Hummel, and Jeff said, you know, what if I pick Illinois to win the Big Ten? And Robbie made a great point. He said, is this last year's chemistry or is this the Matt Meyer chemistry? You replace all these guys every single year, you're going to run into these issues. And I think they'll really struggle in the non-conference, especially defensively. Just 3 weeks ago, Brad Underwood said that his team couldn't guard a group of seventh graders. Then they go out in that exhibition game, and I think Ole Miss shot 7 for 10 to start the game from three. Could not get a stop. They played better from about the 10-minute mark on. They're kind of shell-shocked there. But you have guys come in. You have a trio of high major transfers. You have Kylan Boswell from Arizona, the starting point guard there, Trey White from Louisville, who was probably their best player last year on a really, really bad Louisville team. But now he's in a good situation with a good winning culture. Kerry Booth from Notre Dame. And then you add Ben Humreiches from Evansville, who's a great shooter at 6'9". And then you have two European guys, Kasparis Yakushonis, butchered the name.
I'm glad you took that one on. I looked at him like, this is a nightmare.
he's currently a projected lottery pick. He's 6'6". He will be the facilitator of the offense. Good shooter, solid athlete. And then they have Tomislav Ivisic, who was just declared eligible a few days ago by the NCAA, but the NCAA has to swing that power around, and they took a year away from him, and he's a sophomore, even though he's never played a college basketball. And then you have five-star freshman Will Riley. So all these new faces, excited to watch them. I think, they'll really struggle defensively, and I think they'll really struggle in November and December and maybe even lose a game they shouldn't, a bye game in a sense, which is the epitome of brutality, according to John Ross.
Oh, boy, here we go.
But I am betting on the talent and Brad Underwood. Brad Underwood has proven he can make adjustments and scheme changes in the middle of the season if he had to. He had to do with Kofi when he came in midseason. Last year they did completely scrap their offense in December, and it took off. So, yeah, homer pick. I have them finishing second.
I got the Illini fourth, but honestly, on my list, you could rotate 2, 3, and 4 any day of the week, I think.
1,000%. And I originally had them at 4.
2, 3, and 4. And I figured you might go number two with them, and I didn't want to go 1 and 2 the same. So that's why I put them there. Number two, I'm going just off research because I'm not very familiar. UCLA is my number two. Mick Cronin didn't have a very good season last year, but he retooled his team, and he didn't go the international route this time. He went straight from the portal. He got South Dakota State transfer William Kyle III, as well as USC transfer Kobe Johnson, power forward Eric Daly Jr. from Oklahoma State, and Tyler Bilodeau from Oregon State. And then you got newcomers Dylan Andrews and Sebastian Mack. I think they're going to be pretty good. They're going to be pretty good. It'll be interesting because they're not going to have that home court advantage probably per se like a lot of Big Ten teams do. But I don't know. Just going a little different there for my runner-up pick.
And don't forget old friend Sky Clark. He's also on that roster.
I did forget Sky Clark because the site that I got my notes from didn't even mention him. I knew he was there, I guess, in the back of my mind. But yeah.
Ton of newcomers there. The difference between them and Illinois is they get them from the college level and from high majors too, like Oklahoma State and USC,
right?
As you said. But yeah, I have them finishing third, so we're not far off there.
So my third and your fourth is probably the same team. Mm-hmm. Indiana.
I have fourth, correct.
Indiana, I can make an argument. I know you called Illinois the most talented on paper. I'd say Indiana's right there.
I completely agree.
The pressure's definitely on Mike Woodson. This year, he's got to produce or he's gone. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, they went, they kept some of their good talent in Bakwu and Renew after rumors that they were going to leave. Kept Galloway and Lyle, even though they're going to be reserves off the bench, but still, you need those to go away. They got Luke Goody from Illinois.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a nice shooter off the bench. They got Miles Rice, who can score. He's a bucket from Washington State, transfer point guard. They got Balo as their big boy now from Arizona. He had a good career going there. So a lot of nice pieces, it looks like, on paper. But once again, how can they gel and can they make outside perimeter shots?
Yeah. They spent a ton of NIL dollars to improve roster, and they needed to. Woody was on an incredible hot seat towards the end of last year, and I think it's cooled a little bit with what they did in the portal. But they also went the multi-year route. I mean, Miles Rice was a freshman last year at Washington State, and he averaged 15 points a game. Kenan Carlisle from Stanford was also a freshman last year. He had averaged 11 points a game. And then you had Luke Goody, who's got that toughness and Big Ten experience, and hit some dang big shots for Illinois last year, especially in the Sweet 16. He hit the three that eventually gave them the lead. Not gave them the lead, but he hit a three to go up five, and then he had two free throws to go up five as well, or go up six in the Sweet 16 against Iowa State. So he's hit big shots. Underwood trusted him a bunch. I think I have them lower on this list because of who their head coach is. I'm not a Woody guy at all. I think he should be on an incredible hot seat. They were calling for his head late last year, and it seems like that's quieted down because of the moves they made. But guard play was terrible, and that's why they went out and got a Miles Rice and a Carlisle from Stanford. So I think they should be good. If this team can't make the NCAA tournament even, I think Woody's gone.
Oh, absolutely. I think they at least got to make the tournament, if not maybe even win a game.
Yeah.
How weird is it, though, we're talking about start of basketball season, you don't hear any talk from IU fans because they're focused on their football. Either team. IU or Notre Dame. Either one they like. Yeah. Either one they like. So I can't say what I want to say because we got to keep this clean. who do you got finishing fifth?
I have Oregon finishing fifth.
I got Oregon sixth.
They had a miracle run to the tourney last year, winning the Pac-12 tourney. They were not going to get in, and they ended up – I think they even won a game in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they won a game, then they lost to Creighton in the second round.
That's right, yeah. I got a transfer from Toledo, Raheem Moss, who averaged 15-5 last year. TJ Bamba from Nova, 10 points a game last year. Supreme Cook from Georgetown, who had 10-8. Brandon Angel from Stanford, he had 13-4, 44% from three. They should be solid. I think Dana Altman's a really good basketball coach, and
heck
now
of a coach.
He's in a league where it gives you significantly more opportunities to win big games than it did in the Pac-12, and that's why they'd been on the bubble, is they just didn't have many quad one opportunities, except if they were going on the road or something. But they should be solid.
I think out of all the four newcomers in the conference school-wise, I think they have the best home court advantage out of those four. Yeah. And their court is still bright, but it's not going to make our eyes bleed. They did redo it this offseason, so it's not as hard to watch games out there. So, but yeah, I have the Ducks six. At number five, I have the Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
You're higher on them than I am.
I am. It's good. I believe in these freshmen on paper. Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper. You're not going to find a collection of talented freshmen on the same team in the Big Ten like this very often. Yeah. And Pikel's done a great job there. You know they're going to be tough as nails. They always are. Jersey Mike's, a.k.a. what used to be the Rack. Not a fun place to play. I mean, they did lose a few guys. Mare's on the on Alabama now. But they're going to have key contributions from veteran players like Jeremiah Williams, P.J. Hayes the fourth, and Zach Martini.
Yeah.
So you got a nice mix of young and old there. Assuming the freshmen are as good as they're built up to be, I guess.
Yeah, two of the top three freshmen in the country. They did, as you said, lose Omaruyi to Alabama. Supporting cast is not that great, though. They do have a transfer, Tyson Acuff from Eastern Michigan, who averaged 21 points a game last year. But they need those freshmen to be dudes immediately. They cannot have down games from them, or they're going to really struggle. Which is why I am lower on Rutgers than most, and I have them finishing eighth in the conference.
Okay. All right. So who do you have sixth?
I have Michigan.
I got Michigan ninth.
Okay. So it's kind of the same. Dusty May comes in. They got a ton of portal guys. 7-footer Danny Wolf from Yale, averaged 14 points, 10 rebounds, shot 34% from three. Then he had he grabbed Vlad Golden, who followed him from FAU, who's 7'1". And they say they plan to play both Wolf and Golden together at the same time. That's 2 7-footers. I don't know how they'll be able to guard anyone. Of course, you have Vlad, who's got the, you know, the rim protection. But they also picked up a transfer from Ohio State, Roddy Gale Jr., who had a really good season at Ohio State. But they did lose Doug McDaniel and Terrace Reed to the portal. They need some they need a culture change there because Juwan wasn't getting her done.
Oh, the Juwan Howard era, man. What a time.
I would even say Juwan Howard is the college basketball equivalent to Deion Sanders was at Colorado.
Probably the closest thing. Yeah. That's a good comparison.
More hype than substance, although Colorado looks halfway decent this year. But
yeah, I hate it. It's just my college football 2024. It's just awful all around.
It's been a rough one, yeah.
Oh, it's been the worst for me. But yeah, I have Michigan finishing ninth, but you kind of hit on everything I had there. So how about number 7 spot?
Who do you have finishing 6th?
Oregon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
I have Michigan State finished in 7.
I have Sparty as well. That's
Looking at their roster, though, I don't even know if they'll finish top 7. I mean, they'll lose Tyson Walker.
I think we're still giving Izzo the credit because, you know, he is a legendary coach. But
yeah,
what have you done lately, Tommy?
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of lost it.
I mean, they lost their do-everything guard, Tyson Walker. He didn't do everything, but he was their guy who could go get a bucket for him, and Tyson Walker. A.J. Hogard's now at Vandy. They do return Jordan Akins, Trey Holloman, Cohen Carr. They really need a Xavier Booker breakout for them to finish.
Need to play 7. Him more.
yeah. And Izzo finally used the portal. He went out and got Frankie Fiddler from Omaha, who averaged 20 points, 6 rebounds, almost 3 assists, and he shot 35% from 3. But, you know, going from whatever Omaha's in, are they in the Horizon or something like that league to the Big Ten could be quite the culture shock for him. So I think the name is the only reason why I have them 7th, which, again, they haven't done anything the past 3 or 4 years. So I don't even know why we're giving them that benefit of the doubt.
I guess I, for some reason, even though I can't stand them, felt weird putting them lower than 7th. Yeah. I don't know why. I just did. But it'll be interesting up there in East Lansing. Did you already see who you had at 8?
I have Rutgers at 8.
Rutgers. I have Ohio State at 8. Where do you have them?
I have them 10th.
10th. Okay. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Jake Diebler, now the head man there.
Yeah.
He's not the interim man anymore. But he got a pair of former elite recruits, Sean Stewart from Duke and Aaron Bradshaw from Kentucky. And then he got Moochie Johnson Jr. to come from South Carolina. And he got Micah Parrish from San Diego State. So, and then Bruce Thornton's back. So they should have a lot of good guards and forwards. I'm not sure about center, though. Except, I guess Bradshaw is 7 foot. Never mind. He is more of a center than a forward. But so we'll see. I don't know. You know, a lot of people had them 7th or 6th in projections I've seen, but I just – Diebler's got to prove it to me on a consistent basis first before I'm going to put them that high.
They did play good basketball down the stretch, and they were hot enough, and they probably should have beaten Illinois in the quarterfinal game, and then they get Nebraska. Who knows? Maybe if Ohio State would have got Sunday, they would have been in. But I'm still fairly shocked they stuck with Diebler as their head coach, and I wouldn't be surprised if they struggle this year if he's gone after just one – full season.
Really?
That's my thought on it. Cause I mean, that's like the least I could have possibly feared. I mean, they could have done so many more things, to get a guy that's not, you know, a guy who was part of a failed head coach in Chris Holtmann. But again, they did play good basketball down the stretch. I think Bruce Thornton's a really good point guard. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they'll be that good. I think the shine is kind of worn off. So that's why I have them 10th.
Number 10, I got the Iowa Hawkeyes.
I have Iowa finishing 9th. So, yeah, Peyton Sanford, Josh Dix, Owen Freeman return. Sanford's a dark horse for player of the year because I think he can really shoot the heck out of it. They do get transferred from Morehead State, Drew Thelwell, who had 10 points and 6 assists per game last year. Seydou Traore from Manhattan, who had 12 and 8 last season. I think Fran's a pretty solid coach, and they were real close to making the NCAA tournament.
If he can hold his temper. Last year,
if he can hold his temper. But they need Peyton Sanford to be an NBA caliber guy, because he almost left because he was a projected draft pick due to his size and ability to shoot. And he's got one of the quickest releases I've ever seen in Big Ten play. So they need him to be an absolute stud this year.
And I will go on record. I think the Big Ten only gets 7 teams in the tournament.
Yeah. I think Purdue, Illinois, UCLA, IU, Oregon. I'm going to throw Michigan in there, and I'll throw Rutgers and get them in there. I think Michigan State misses it for the first time in forever.
Well, that wouldn't hurt my feelings, but I just think the Big Ten's going to be down a little bit this year, especially on the teams we're going to start talking about here, the bottom half of the conference. I think it's going to be pretty weak, especially the bottom four. FK, we covered 9 and you covered 10. Number 11, I got Wisconsin.
I have Wisconsin finishing 12th. I have Maryland at 11.
I got Maryland 12.
Okay. So, as far as Maryland goes, Julian Reese comes back, Angel Reese's brother. Point guard Jacoby Gillespie from Belmont takes over for Jameer Young, who was really, really good for a team that did not score many points. But Gillespie had 17 points per game, 4 assists per game last year, 38% from 3. Big year for Kevin Willard, though. I think he'll start.
Big year. Third year. Yep.
If he doesn't make the tourney this year, and on paper, I don't think they do.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting. He's done little with a lot of talent, I feel like, at Maryland in his time.
Which is, that was the case with the former guy, too, whose name is escaping me.
Mark Turgeon.
Mark Turgeon. Yeah.
Yeah, he looked like a turtle. Snapper. that's mean to me. I don't have anything else to add on Maryland. Wisconsin, I was scared to put them here because it feels like we're low on them every year, and then they surprise us every year.
Yeah, they do lose their point guard, Chucky Hepburn, to Louisville.
Thank God.
Their stud, A.J. Storr, to Kansas. But they did get transfer Xavier Amos from NIU, averaged 14-6 last year. Cameron Hunter from Central Arkansas missed last year, but averaged 17 points a game in 2023. Need a huge sophomore leap from John Blackwell, who played pretty well for them in February last year.
Who do you got finishing 13th?
I have Nebraska.
I got Nebraska 16th. So
you're low on them. They did lose Tominaga. Yeah. And I thought that was a fluky season last year anyway. But losing Tominaga, they do get Rink Mass, Bryce Williams, Juwan Gary back from last year's tourney team. They get transfers Connor Asijan from Wisconsin, who had a great freshman year. And then the past couple years, he just did nothing at Wisconsin. Gavin Griffiths, the guy with the specs from Rutgers, he's also transferring there. Andrew Morgan from North Dakota State, he was 6'10", 13 points a game, good shooter. So maybe I've talked myself into being low on them than they should be.
My number 13 is Northwestern.
I have them 14th.
14th. Boo Booey's finally gone.
Yeah, their best player in their history.
Thank goodness. but Brooks Barnizer's back. I just heard they don't think he's going to play tonight.
He's banged up.
Should be back soon. Then you got Ty Berry, Nick Martelli, Matthew Nicholson. They've been there for a little while, but I think it's really going to come down to this Fairfield transfer, Jalen Leach, who's going to be their point guard. So, if he's halfway decent, they'll probably be halfway decent.
Yeah. 16 points a game, 4 rebounds, 3 assists last year at Fairfield, shot 35% from 3. If you can just be half of what Boo Booey did, was there, they should be okay.
I don't think he'll be as clutch as Boo Booey. That dude.
Definitely not. Yeah.
Made buckets. We both know that all too well. So. Okay, you had Northwestern 14th. Who do you have 15th?
I have Penn State 15th.
I have Penn State 15th as well.
Ace Baldwin returns. That's about all I got, though. Good passer, scrappy, best on-ball defender in the conference, probably led in steals anyway.
Nick Kern Jr. is back. Mm-hmm. This second year for Mike Rhodes. But they did get a guy named – they got 2 transfers here. Freddie DeLon, the fifth, I believe. He led minutes and blocks last year at Tennessee. God, I do not remember him in the Elite Eight game, though. Then they got a guy, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, out in Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
Another rim protector, supposedly. So at 14th, I had USC at 14th.
Okay. I have them 16th.
Musselman's there now.
Yeah, must bus.
Must bus. He should get a lot of talent out there. They got 11 new transfers.
Yeah. Desmond Claude from Xavier had 16-4-3 last year at Xavier is probably the most notable. Musk could get talent to Arkansas. He's going to get it to LA.
Yeah. Well, Calipari get to Arkansas too now.
That's a good point.
That's a different reason. I don't have much else to add on them. So I was hoping Bronny Jr. would stick around for another year so we could talk about him, but he's getting minutes for the Lakers. So
insignificant minutes, as it should be. She should be in the G League.
Still getting minutes.
Yeah.
Nepotism. Did you say who you had 16th?
USC.
USC, and I had Nebraska. So we're down to 17th already, I think.
Yeah. I have Washington.
I got Washington as well.
New head coach Danny Sprinkle, led by Utah State transfer great Ozebor, who was good at Utah State. And he was kind of the first guy I heard as far as NIL numbers thrown around, where it was like upwards of 2 million. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Zach Edey ate his lunch up in the state tournament. But I mean,
he was an undersized big guy.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
But, good at Utah State.
Yep. And then last, we both have Minnesota.
Yeah, ravaged by the
depleted.
Yeah, the portal. Ravaged by the portal. You have Pharrell Payne that went to Texas A&M, Elijah Hawkins to Texas Tech, Joseph Olajoseph to Kansas or to Cal, not Kansas. Dawson Garcia and Mike Mitchell Jr. do return. Lost Cam Christie to the NBA. Man, I feel bad for their head coach out there.
What's his name?
Name's escaping me. I can see him.
I can see him. Yep.
We're professional podcast hosts. There,
from Xavier.
Guys.
That's gonna eat at me. I could just.
What
type
is
in
his?
Google
why
machine.
This is embarrassing? I am embarrassed. I should have written it down.
That's
Minnesota.
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson. It's such a
I couldn't get there.
Name too.
Couldn't even get there.
No,
couldn't even get there.
I can see him, but
yeah. So, well, it's gonna be a fun season. Big Ten basketball always is, and tonight we'll be talking about it from going forward through March, maybe even into April if somebody makes it that far. So, I don't think any Big Ten team will, but you never know.
Yeah, maybe this will be the year somebody does, and they actually win it.
I was gonna say Purdue did make it to April last year, and technically Illinois did too. Wasn't it April or was it March? No, it was March.
I think it was the third. Yeah, it was
30th.
The
30th. Because, yeah, Purdue played on Eastern 31st.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, let's talk some pigskin. We got 17 more minutes. We can hit on both college and NFL. Let's start with college. What captured your attention for week 10 around the country?
I'll be honest with you. I didn't watch a single second of college football on Saturday. I just didn't have any interest, to be honest, which is rare. And I was also out doing stuff, but not a whole lot. I mean, IU just murdered Michigan State
after being down 10. They were down 10-0 after the first quarter. Right. I'm falling. I'm like, all right, let's see what they do. Trailing for the first time, they rack up 47 unanswered points.
Yeah. James Franklin can't win the big one. We'll never be able to win the big one.
Some fans want him gone.
They want him gone. Be careful what you wish for. That's an interesting job with a good history, but again, an interesting placement of where that university is. So.
Yep. Jeff Brohm doing Jeff Brohm things, winning a big game against a team they probably shouldn't, goes into Clemson and ruins Clemson's playoff hopes.
Yeah.
Clemson not getting in now with two losses. So, that was a shocker. I thought SMU smacking Pittsburgh. I thought that'd be a good game, giving Pittsburgh their first loss. And then South Carolina smacking Texas A&M around. Didn't see that coming either. So Vanderbilt beat Auburn, so they're back in top 25. SEC, man, it's the best conference top to bottom for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, they got so many good teams.
Yeah, we make fun of them all the time because it just means more. But, the fact that Vanderbilt's even ranked, and they're a legitimate rank. They're not just an SEC.
No,
ranked,
they're good.
They're a good football team.
They're bowl eligible.
Significantly better than everyone else. Another thing that did capture my attention is the UConn Huskies are bowl eligible. They have won 6 games already.
Jim Mora.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. Iowa State went down for the first time all season, losing at home to Texas Tech.
That's a bad loss.
Kind of a shocker, and kind of opens up the Big 12 a little bit, even though BYU is leading the conference. BYU is one of 5 teams still undefeated in the country. You got Indiana, BYU, your Canes, who were down for a little while against Duke, and then they just woke up in the fourth quarter. Oregon, and who's the other team I'm missing? Who's the other undefeated team? Army.
Oh.
Army.
Wouldn't I guess that?
Who plays Notre Dame in 2 weeks. So.
Yep. And Notre Dame will beat them by like 30 like they did Navy.
Yep. So, we will find out tomorrow what the playoff rankings are looking like.
Yeah.
Interesting with the election going on tomorrow that's the night they're going to release the first playoff rankings. But, hey.
People will need an escape at some point.
That's exactly what I was saying. Yeah. So, all right. Big Ten picks for week 11, Friday night. We're back with Friday night games. Didn't have one this past week because they thought we might have a game 6. Should have had a game 6 in the World Series, but we didn't. Iowa at UCLA. UCLA went into Nebraska.
Yeah.
Stunned the Cornhuskers. You look at Nebraska's schedule, there's a real possibility they'll make a bowl.
Very good possibility. Started 5-1. Now they have they play this week. They don't play this week.
They don't.
But they have like Wisconsin. They have
Iowa.
Iowa, Wisconsin, and some like Penn. I think Penn State, maybe.
I think you're right. Yeah.
So they a bad loss for Nebraska at home too.
Yeah.
Dylan Raiola has not looked good since September.
Remember when nobody used to win at Nebraska? Now it's no big deal at all.
Yeah. Only because I think we have a lot of blowout possibilities this week. Do I only have Iowa for 2? This is the best offense Iowa's had in a couple years. Caleb Johnson is a legit Heisman candidate. I think he has the 5th best odds right now. And their quarterback. I mean, McNamara got benched for this other guy, and he's at least looked a lot better than McNamara has. So Iowa for 2.
Yeah, it's weird seeing Iowa put up so many points this year, but that's what they're doing. I got Iowa for 3. Purdue at number 3, Ohio State. I'm not looking forward to this one. One bit. It wasn't all year long, but
Fox Big Noon game.
Yeah, and then they announced today their game next week against Penn State's 3:30 CBS. It just keeps getting better. Just keeps getting better.
I got Ohio State for 6. 6.
Oh, yeah. There's no.
What's the spread on this one?
I think it's 37.5 right now.
I think they cover. I think they
largest. I think it's largest in Purdue history.
Oh boy!
Yeah,
it's gotta be one of the largest Big Ten versus Big Ten.
Yeah, I would think so. There. It's gotta be bad. It's gotta be real bad. And Purdue probably should have beat Northwestern, but they didn't. So, Minnesota at Rutgers.
Give me Minnesota for 1. I think Minnesota's a legitimately pretty good football team.
They're bowl eligible. Yeah. I mean, we give Fleck a lot of flack, but he has turned it around. So he shut me up. I got Minnesota for 1 as well. And Rutgers, their season has just been
a tailspin. Yeah.
Michigan at number 8. Indiana. Indiana's in the top 10 for the first time since 2020 when they were number 7. But if you throw that season out, top 10 for the first time since 1967, which they got clear up to 4th and they won the Big Ten to go to the Rose Bowl that year. And he has a 14-point favorite.
When's the last time they've been a 14-point favorite over Michigan ever?
Oh, I got nothing there.
And I think they cover. Michigan cannot score. They're doing this quarterback carousel. The guy they started 2 weeks ago at Illinois is retired now. Jack Tuttle,
who used to play for Indiana.
He just retired from football. Yeah. Give me
concussion
IU.
And he's like 26 years old. So
give me IU for 3.
I got the Hoosiers for 2. I am going to go on the record. They win Saturday, they make the playoff.
Yeah.
They lose Saturday, they don't make the playoff.
They don't make the playoff because they're probably not winning in Ohio State. That'll be their first real test all season.
I just don't see a 10-2 Indiana, even though it's a remarkable year with their schedule. I think they would take a 2-loss, maybe even 3-loss SEC team, depending on who that 3-loss team is over them. But if they go 11-1, even if they don't make the Big Ten championship, it would be a pretty bad look if they got kept out of the playoff.
Very. Yep.
Maryland at number 1, Oregon.
Give me Oregon for 5.
I got the Ducks for 5 as well. And Washington at number 6, Penn State. Penn State only fell 3 spots in the AP polls.
Give me Penn State for 4.
I got Penn State for 4 as well. And due to time constraints, we will not go over top 25 this week and go right into the NFL. 3 winners, 3 losers for week 10.
No one's talking about this team but the LA Chargers.
Nobody's talking about it.
Against a good team whatsoever, but the previous 4 seasons, their defenses have been ranked in the 20s. And right now they have the number 1 scoring defense in football. That is the Jim Harbaugh effect. Justin Herbert's playing some good ball. So the LA Chargers.
I will stick with one of my winners in that same city in LA, but the Rams.
Yeah.
They found a way to get it done in Seattle when it looked like on multiple occasions they were going to lose that game. And a team that looked like they were going to trade away pieces all of a sudden get their stud wide receivers back. They're back in it. And that NFC West is up for grabs. So yeah. Give me the Rams.
The Detroit Lions, for about the 10th straight week, they are the best team in football, top to bottom. I even have a stat pulled up here. The Detroit Lions have more touchdowns than incompletions during their 6-game winning streak.
Wow.
They have scored 28 touchdowns, and Jared Goff has only thrown 24 incompletions in that 6 games. That's awesome. Wow. So,
my second winner, Baltimore Ravens. They just shellacked the Denver Broncos yesterday and what I still think is a good defense. But, boy, the Broncos defense looked bad yesterday. I felt pretty good at, you know, right before half, Denver scores 17-10. Next time Bo Nix got the ball in his hands, it was 31-10.
Yeah.
Things had swung big time. Lamar Jackson's on pace to win another MVP, I think. Yeah. Derrick Henry's over 1,000 yards already through 9 games. Their defense isn't great, but it's good enough to get the job done with that offense. And when they're clicking, I think they're better than the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And the scary thing is the Chiefs are undefeated, and they haven't clicked yet, I would say.
No, and I think the Ravens have better offense. Chiefs have a better defense.
Yeah. My final winner here, the Arizona Cardinals. They keep winning. I know they didn't play a good Bears team, and I'm surprised Matt Eberflus still has a job after the past 2 weeks and some of his comments he's made as well. And especially leaving Caleb Williams out there down 20 with a minute left and both of his starting tackles are out and he gets banged up. But the Cardinals are quietly winning the NFC West right now. A lot of time left, and I think they'll taper off. But they probably feel pretty good right now.
And my last winner was from Thursday night, the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were done. The season was over. They were doing fluky things the other night, just making clowns of themselves. Then they come back and take care of business. It helps when Garrett Wilson has one of the best catches I've ever seen.
That was a good one.
Odell Beckham Jr. like kind of got him going there. They really needed that because they lose that one. You could have just wrote them off for everything this season. Now they're still probably done, but they got a fighting chance, I guess. Yeah. So, and this Texans team, I don't know what's going on. You kind of mentioned it last week. Something's off.
Yeah, even though they were 6-2, I just never. Stroud's
not playing all that great.
No, they are one of my losers. He went 10 for 30. He hasn't looked the same as he did last season. And, yeah, something's off.
Our Big Ten champions that we predicted are in a dogfight right now, up 5, midway through the second half. So
okay.
They were up 18 at one point. So
we need to get this show over so you can start sweating a little more.
They're shooting really good, but it looks like they are turning it over like crazy right now. So,
yeah.
Yeah. 3 losers. I am going to start off with New Orleans Saints.
Yep.
Lose to the Carolina Panthers, and then you fire your coach, Dennis Allen, today, who honestly probably was there longer than he even deserved to be. And your boy, Derek Carr, getting him fired again.
Yeah. Dennis Allen had the lowest winning percentage of any head coach with at least 75 games as a head coach. He's the biggest loser in NFL history. Derek Carr is the biggest loser quarterback in NFL history. Through 7 seasons, Derek Carr had the most losses of any starting quarterback. Through 8 seasons, Derek Carr has the most losses. Through 9 seasons, 10 seasons, he has the most losses out of any quarterback. Now he's in his 11th season. He is tied with Archie Manning with the most losses through 11 seasons. So he is a loser. And he got Dennis Allen fired for the second time.
It wouldn't shock me for Dennis Allen to end up on Denver Broncos staff because he's close with Sean Payton. And he used to be the coordinator, defense coordinator there way back in 2011. Yeah. So that wouldn't shock me.
My second loser, I had the Houston Texans. I'm going to throw them in there already. But my second loser is Dallas Cowboys. They're done. Surprised Mike McCarthy has a job right now. He should have been fired at the end of last season. Dak's out for the foreseeable future with a hamstring issue. Not that he's been playing well at all. They have CD Lamb, who's one of the biggest divas in football now. It's getting ugly there, and Jerry's got to do something quick. Maybe they're going to tank for Sanders.
That wouldn't shock me. That'd be a perfect place for him. My second loser, Chicago Bears. We already talked about it. They looked lifeless out in Arizona. Thought they'd come out with some fire after losing with that Fail Mary play in Washington. Wasn't the case. They're 4-4, but I don't think Eberflus is a very good coach.
No. So. My final loser, the Green Bay Packers. You had a chance to make a statement there. Hey, don't forget about us, but Jordan Love is leading the NFL in interceptions. He has not played very well this year. He's not played good football at all. And, the Lions, head and shoulders above the rest of that very good division.
Nick Small, a friend of the show and 2010 RHS graduate, saying on Facebook, Dak is overrated. Yeah, for how much money he gets paid? Absolutely.
He's definitely overpaid, for sure.
And my last loser, Indianapolis Colts. Make the switch to Joe Flacco. I'm not saying it's the right or wrong move, but he didn't play well last night. They're sticking with him against the Bills. A lot of their fans wish they would have stuck with Richardson. It's kind of a mess there. And Chris Ballard's sitting there and just – I think he should be on the hot seat.
His seat's got to be on fire.
You would think so.
I was advocating for Joe Flacco to start all along, and so I can't take it back now, but he looked terrible last night.
He didn't look good.
And I think they lose
a tough schedule coming up, too.
They do. They lose their next two or three. I think you got to go back to Richardson, let him play out the season because it's over. So
he won't have any confidence at this point, but
none.
Did to yourselves. So. Yeah.
Well, he did it to himself, checking himself out of the game because he was tired, too. So.
That's true. All right, you still got to book it, by the way, to do tonight.
Oh, boy.
We got to fly through our picks here. Thursday night, the Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens.
Give me Baltimore for 11.
I got Baltimore for 14.
I think they're good.
Yeah. I know the Bengals beat the Raiders, but the Ravens at home, tough to beat. I think they're pretty darn good. The New York Giants at the Carolina Panthers in Germany.
This will be the J-Man's bookie prediction of the week. I don't think the Carolina Panthers win two in a row. Give me the Giants for one confidence point. J-Man's bookie prediction of the week brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watson for Life Home Auto Business Renters Workers Comp and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561.
I am taking the Giants for two. That's going to be an awful game I probably won't watch any of.
Yeah.
The Denver Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Give me Chiefs for 13.
I got the Chiefs for 8. The Broncos should play better than they did against the Ravens, even when they've had that long losing streak to the Chiefs, which they finally snapped last year. They usually play them pretty competitively. Mm-hmm. Being in division helps. So I'm not expecting a win, but I think it'll be close. Closer, at least. San Francisco 49ers at Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay is kind of flatlined here, too. Give me San Francisco for 6.
I got San Francisco for 4. Christian McCaffrey should be back. Mm-hmm. That's going to help a lot. Atlanta Falcons at New Orleans Saints.
Falcons for 8.
I got the Falcons for 12. Buffalo Bills at Indianapolis Colts.
Bills for 9.
I got the Bills for 9 as well. Good one here. Pittsburgh Steelers at Washington Commanders.
Give me Washington for 7.
I got the Commanders for 3. Minnesota Vikings at Jacksonville Jaguars.
Give me Minnesota for 5.
I got the Vikings for 7. New England Patriots at Chicago Bears.
Bears for 10. I know it's a mess, but they're better than New England.
I got
they the lose Bears that one. Eberflus is gone.
I got the Bears for 11, so I'm right there with you. Tennessee Titans at LA Chargers.
Chargers for 14.
I got the Chargers for 13. Philadelphia Eagles at Dallas Cowboys.
I have Philadelphia for 4. I wish I would have put more on it.
I got Eagles for 5, and I had the Cowboys until I saw that Dak was out multiple weeks.
All right.
So I switched it earlier today because the Eagles probably should have lost to the Jaguars. Sirianni's cocky something else. New York Jets at Arizona Cardinals.
Give me Jets for 3.
I got the Cardinals for 1. Detroit Lions at Houston Texans, Sunday Night Football.
I have the Lions for 12.
I got the Lions for 6. I thought that was an 8. And Miami Dolphins at LA Rams on Monday Night Football.
Dolphins offenses look great. They're, since Tua came back, defense looks terrible. Give me Rams for 2.
I got the Rams for 10. I'm sorry, J-Man. But, that's all right. They'll probably prove me wrong. So
it's over.
Yeah, still season left. You never know. They're pretty. They're still the most talented 2-6 team I've ever seen. Well,
you're 2-6 for a reason. Yeah. Who was the last New York Jets quarterback before Aaron Rodgers throw 10 touchdown passes?
Well, the first guy that came to my mind was Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold. But you said it's been a while, so I got to go back a while. I think there's been one since Testaverde. Was it Chad Pennington?
No. It was not. It is Sam Darnold. However, that was 5 years ago. It's been 5 seasons.
Oh, the way you're talking, I was thinking like Tid. Jerk.
You got to go back a ways. I mean, pre-pandemic.
Darnold was the first guy who came to my mind. It's been a while.
Yeah. So, hey, my
it worked. Good job. Yeah. Good strategy.
Yeah, well, there was no strategy at all. It just kind of came out of my mouth what I said. But
well, it worked.
I thought you were going to say Ryan Fitzpatrick because he definitely did.
Forgot he was even a Jet.
Yeah, but thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode.